Welcome to our Sunday evening service. Tonight we are highlighting some special members of our congregation, some of our younger gentlemen. I have two notes for you to start with, and one is that the invitation song, if you're going to mark it in the book, is 589. Yes, it will be on the screen, but if you're in the habit of marking, 589 will be the invitation song. So welcome to those in person and those online. We are glad you are here. My second note is that I do really try to sing songs that people have told me that they wanted to hear, that they wanted me to lead singing, and so this is one of those songs, In Need. This song is less about singing to other people and more about expressing yourself to God in need.
With me. Our kind and loving Heavenly Father, we are indeed in need of all that you give us. Father, we know that you watch over us and you give us our blessings. Father, let us be thankful for everything you give us. Father, we're so grateful for your Son who came and died on the cross to give us an opportunity for the forgiveness of sins. And Father, we ask for that forgiveness. We ask that you be with our congregation here. In all of our works, Father, we ask that you would bless them, be with each of the leaders that are working, to the deacons to move things forward, Be with our elders as they make decisions. Be with our ministers, Father, as they teach us. Father, we pray that you be with this country as we make a decision soon about a new leader. Father, we ask that we would use our right to vote, to exercise our vote so that we use your standard, Father, as the example. Father, there are many who are sick and those who've lost loved ones. We ask that you would be with them, watch over them. Father, we thank you for everything you've given us. In Christ's name, amen.
Good evening, everyone. So glad that you came out. You chose to come out and be with us this evening and see what our young people have been working on and the things they're working towards. The young men this evening will be sharing some of the things they did at convention and showing some of the things that they've learned, hopefully. The young ladies are going to be given that opportunity after Bible class on Wednesday night. Some of the young ladies are planning on giving their speeches, reading their scripture, leading their songs with the women downstairs. So if you're a woman who would like to hear that, that will be available to you this Wednesday, May 1st. I wanted to get that out of the way before I forget, because I don't want to forget to give them that little bit of plug for Wednesday night. So I'll go ahead and get started. If the clicker looks really fancy, I hope I don't mess things up. All right, there we are. Okay, there we are at the convention. We worked for months last year to get ready for a convention. We participated in a number of events. I'm going to tell you a little bit about some of those events as we go. It kind of works logically with like the names and the events. We can kind of, I'll kind of tell you hopefully what they've done. You can see who was there. It's a wonderful picture of all our young boys and girls. So our first participant, Evan, he participated in Bartimaeus, and that's for special needs young people. He led a song, he did a scripture reading, and he also did an art project. So we were really proud of Evan, and he did a fantastic job, and his enthusiasm was overwhelming. It was really awesome. So we're really proud of Evan. Songs of Praise, we had one finalist in Songs of Praise, and that was actually Olivia Burns. The Burns family met us in Nashville. They wanted to come with people that they knew. And their congregation in Florida doesn't do lots of leaders. So they glommed onto us in Nashville. So we were glad to see them again and their family. It was good for them. It was good for us too. It was very encouraging. Olivia did get. She was a finalist in Songs of Praise. She's an excellent song leader from what I've heard, and actually from the little video snippets that I saw, she definitely knows what she's doing. So the competition must have been pretty stiff. Along the song leading lines, Jackson got second place in song leading. He did a good job with that as well. I think he's kind of working on losing his voice and kind of getting over illness right now. So if he leads a song tonight, don't hold him too much to that second place, but I'm sure he'll do the best he can tonight. Boy speech, Jackson, again, he got second place for the speech. He's not giving that tonight. It's actually one you heard already. The one that he gave last time when he spoke in front of the congregation was the same speech that he gave it at Lads to Leaders, just tweaked a little bit. So we weren't sure about you hearing that twice, so that's what he was going to do a song, and then he got sick. So we'll see how that goes. Levi Haas, outstanding. He got the year-round speech award for giving 12 speeches. So between some of the speeches that he gave more than once, he did devotionals on Wednesday evenings. He spoke during the youth-led services. You have to get 12 times to get the bronze level. I think the gold level you have to do like 24. So you have to speak a couple times a month as a young person to get the gold. But Levi did an excellent job and got a bronze award for that. So we're really proud of Levi. We are really proud of Matthew, who got third place for a PowerPoint that he did for a lesson. The Lads to Leaders organization gives you like a lesson that's based on part of their curriculum. They have this lesson guide that's called Pearls. And what it is, there's 13 lessons, or sometimes there's a bonus lesson. written by other brothers you've probably heard of from the Brotherhood, and they write each lesson that kind of go along with the theme. And I think the challenge for the PowerPoint was you have to write one that goes, and this year I think it was lesson 11. So you're supposed to make a PowerPoint that you could use to teach a class about lesson 11. And Matthew won third place for that, so we're really proud of Matthew and his abilities as well. And then I've got to get this out there. This will come out eventually. I've got the podcast that Levi and Jackson did. Jackson and Levi did a podcast together, and they actually won first place. So I left that off the slide, but they won first place. So I'll have Tim send that out. So you guys, if you want to take a couple minutes and listen to Levi and Jackson's podcast through email, I have to get that out there. They went back and forth. I didn't help them with anything other than the technical part. I did the recording and uploaded everything. They came up with the plan of what they were going to talk about. They came up with the topic, the dialogue, who was speaking when, what scriptures they were going to use. And it sounds really natural. It doesn't sound like they planned it, but there was some planning behind it. And it sounded very natural for the two of them. Actually, on that picture, though, it's kind of funny because Carter Burns is up there. Because Levi didn't go to Nashville with us, but then it was like they called two names, so we wanted to make sure that there were two people up there. So Carter was just there with Jackson. So, and then the Good Samaritan Award, it's kind of like community service, but it's Christian service, and these are hours outside of like your normal chores, like if you always have to make your bed and do the dishes, those don't count. These are acts of service that you do for other people, and you kind of log what you do. So if you have cut the grass for the widow next door, you took a casserole to shut in, or those all you kind of keep track of those hours, and that's what qualifies for Good Samaritan. And the French family all got Good Samaritan. You've got to log a number of hours to hit that bronze level, and they got the bronze level, and it's no small task to be able to focus on that many good deeds and really stay on track. So we're really proud of them too. We got a number of Bible Bowl high score individuals. We had a Jude and Colin and Ada. All got high score awards for the Bible Bowl test they took before they went to convention. So it was just on computer. And the Book of Romans, if you guys have read the Book of Romans, you know it's a difficult book. So we are really proud of our young people for doing so well, because that means they're the top 10 of their age group in order to get that particular high score award, probably against hundreds of people their age. I don't know. Now, how many took it? I don't know. But that's really good for them to be able to do that, because Romans is such a hard book. And Caleb, Tristan, Amelia, Isabella, and Isaac also were able to get a Bible Bowl high score award for that test that they take online before convention. Our Bible Bowl teams at convention, we didn't have any teams that won like first, second, or third, but we had three finalist teams. So our grades 3 and 6 team finalists were Matthew, Hannah, Jude, and Will. And then we had a 3 through 6 team over there, Ada, Aubrey, Ellie, and Isaiah. And then our finalist teams for grades 3 through 6, but division 5 and 6 is Carter, Caleb, Tristan, and Jackson. So they were all finalists of the Bible Bowl. And it's a little intimidating doing a book as difficult as Romans, because those concepts are just so big. I mean, the questions are very, very specific sometimes. So you've got to know Romans really, really well. And so we're so proud of them for learning so much about God's word and really putting the effort into it this year. So we're really proud of all of our finalists. We're proud of all our kids, but we're proud of them for this as well. The parade of leaders this year, the banner was carried by Evan and Evie. At the beginning of convention, that very first night in this big convention hall, everybody walks in, and all the churches that are represented usually have two people carrying something like you see Evie and Evan with, representing their congregation. It's real quick. They all kind of file in together and walk across the stage one and sit back down. It's not a huge deal, but it's just part of the spectacle and part of the excitement for rewarding a whole year of hard work. So we're proud of Evie and Evan. And then our pearls test, this was what I was telling you about with different authors write different lessons that kind of go along with the theme. These are our kids who high scored on the test. We've got Carter and Jackson and Evie and Ezra Haas and Levi Haas and Olivia Burns. They all got high scores for the Pearls test, and it's a lot of information, but it's really good information. Sometimes the lessons don't completely focus on the book. This year the book was Romans, but they're usually related in some way. Often the book is just straight out of the text, like right out of Romans, talking about Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 or something like that. But some of the lessons get a little outside Romans, but we're really pleased with how they did there. And then Know the Books. These are all of our Know the Books participants. And this is just knowing the books. There's different levels of this, like a lot of the events at LADS. You can know just the New Testament. You can know just the Old Testament. You can say them all. You can also say them all and their theme. So you can learn all 60. Now, we didn't have anybody do that. We need to shoot for that at some point, where you know the theme of every book of the Bible, like Genesis, the beginning, Exodus, the exit from Egypt. I mean, you can learn, you not only can you say the books, but you learn what every one of those books is about. So we haven't quite done that yet, but we need to work towards that. But these guys are really knowing their books of the Bible. So good there. And then we had a few people with second language, and that was Olivia. You have some objectives that you do in a different language other than your native language. So Olivia Burns has been taking Spanish, so she memorized some of those verses in Spanish, and being able to ask some basic theological questions to others in a different language. So she did all the requirements for that, so we're proud of Olivia for that. We're really proud of the McCormicks for reading the Word. The Read the Word Award you can get for reading all the Old Testament or all the New Testament, or for reading both. And reading both is a big undertaking to get done as a family throughout the year. The New Testament, I guess, takes less time. If you want to get started somewhere, the New Testament, if you're like, okay, I'm reading all the New Testament this year, that's probably a good place to start. If you're not one of those that can really do the whole Bible all in one year. And then with the Centurion of Scripture was Colin, Graham, Aubrey, Ellie, and Isaiah. That means they have memorized 100 verses of Scripture throughout the year to get that award. So that's what the centurion part means, 100. So they've memorized 100 verses. There's different ways and different levels, of course, that you can do that. But we're really proud of them for learning so many verses of God's Word. Now, the last thing. Now, I hesitated to put this in here, but I did it anyways. I just wanted to thank everybody I know who helped. If your name's not on here and you helped, I'm sorry. And that's why I hesitated to put that in here. But a special thank you goes to Sherry and Butch Carden, Tim Haywood and Amanda, Brandon and Brandy, Nathan Tate and Sierra. And Sierra, I don't even think I included you. Sierra, I'm sure you helped some. So there's somebody I left off. Sierra Tate, Ashley Seal, Catherine Albertson, Ava Rowe, Georgianne Green, Tammy Williams, Levi Haynes, Charlie French, Heidi Elliott, Paul Elliott, Dan Heaton, April Heaton, Megan Johnson, Maddie Henry, Chig Gunter, Sherry Pierce, and also I wanted to throw for sure the eldership for being so supportive and giving us what we needed and ask if we need anything else. They've been great. And the congregation as a whole, who's been so overwhelming with support and willing to volunteer in any way they can help. So I have one last picture. That's a picture of all of us, and we really appreciated it. It was fun, but it was also that spiritual focus. I think when I was younger, I felt like maybe I'll be a leader in the church when I get this age, or I'll be a leader when I get this age. But the truth is, you're a leader now. Like, you are the church now. You don't have to wait till you're 35 and be like, okay, I'm a leader today. So that's one thing that I want you guys to all take away from it. It's not about being the best possible song leader ever or the best possible speech ever. It's not about any of the competition. It's about being a better Christian every day. It's about being a better Christian this year than you were last year. It's about being a little bit better at this than you were. And so I'm just really proud of how you guys did everything, and nobody got their feelings hurt. Nobody pouted. And everybody did what they were supposed to, and I'm just really pleased with how everybody did. So I know you guys are waiting to hear what they're going to say. So we've got some things to go over. We've got some scripture readings. We've got some speeches. And then we're going to have Ezra who's going to give us the invitation towards the end, and then Steve will lead with that invitation song. So we'll get started with a scripture reading by Mr. Luke Fields.
Today, I'll be reading Luke chapter 15 from the English Standard Version, verses 11 through 21. Verse 11 through 21. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country, and who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and before you I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And his son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven, and before you I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But his father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. But bring a fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. But his son was dead and is now alive. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate."
I will be reading Romans 1:16 through 17. Romans 1:6 through 17 from the ESV. "Including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at least succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation to both Greeks and barbarians, to both the wise and the foolish. So I am eager to preach to the gospel to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For it is in righteousness of the God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, 'The righteous shall live by faith.'" Today, I'm going to tell you three examples of people in the Bible who are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In my first point, I'm going to tell you about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not ashamed at all because first, their homeland was taken over and they were forced to be trained to be helpers of the king, and they still had faith in God. After that, they were threatened to get thrown into a fiery furnace if they did not bow down to an idol. Instead of them bowing down to the idol, they bowed down to the one real God, knowing the punishment. And they got thrown into the fiery furnace, but did not burn like the soldiers who threw them in, because of an angel. Daniel 3, verse 21. So the men wearing the robes, trousers, tubins, and other clothes were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. Verse 22. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 23. And the three men firmly tied fell into the blazing furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are a perfect example of who you and I should be more like. And my second point is in Exodus, and the reason why Moses was not ashamed of God. Moses was grown up in royalty, and then he killed an Egyptian because the Egyptian was beating a Hebrew slave. So he ran away, not knowing what to do. 40 years later, Moses saw a burning bush, and there he spoke to God. God said to go back to Egypt and put 10 plagues on Egypt. So he went to Egypt and put all 10 plagues on Egypt. And Moses led his people to Canaan's land. Moses was not ashamed to go against Pharaoh, even though Pharaoh could have killed him at any second. And Moses is another person who we should be more like. And my third point is in Acts, in the story of Stephen and why he wasn't ashamed. Stephen was very faithful because one day he was preaching the gospel of Jesus and no one liked it, so they just stoned him. But Stephen was so faithful while he was getting stoned, a wish that all Christians wanted happened to him. He got to see God standing in Jesus on his right side. Acts 7, verse 55. But Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit. He looked towards heaven, where he saw a glorious God and Jesus standing on his right side. Next time you feel ashamed of the gospel of Christ, just think of these three examples, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they were not ashamed even though they got thrown into the fiery furnace, and Moses, and how he left his wife and went to the one place he did not want to go, and Stephen, and how he wasn't ashamed even though he got stoned. So next time you're feeling ashamed, don't be, because you know you're not alone.
Tonight I'll be leading When We All Get to Heaven, verse 1-3. Let us sing.
Thank you.
I will be reading 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 14. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 14. I will be reading from the English Standard Version. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another to build one another up, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with all of them.
Ephesians 4:42. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgive one another, and God right forgave you.
Today, we will be singing Bind Us Together, number 704. Bind Us Together.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I am joyful to be here today with all of you to learn and teach of the timeless wisdoms and eternal truths found in the word of Christ Jesus. So let us begin. As we come together in fellowship and unity, I am reminded of the powerful words of the Apostle Paul. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. These words reside deeply within my heart because they perfectly capture the essence of our faith, the foundation of our belief in a world that almost constantly tries to undermine the authority of Scripture and destroy the significance of our faith. We stand firm and unwavering in our commitment to the gospel of Christ. We should not be ashamed to be followers of the gospel, but because we know that in these flawless texts lies the key to salvation and the promise of redemption and the hope of eternal life. The gospel of Christ is not just a set of beliefs to hold on to, but a call to action, a call to live out our faith in tangible ways. It challenges us to love our neighbors as ourselves, to care for the least among us, and to seek justice and mercy in the world that often lacks both. It compels us to be agents of change, to stand up against injustice, to be voices for the voiceless. Let us not proclaim our faith with words, but let our actions be a testament to the transformative power of Christ's love in our lives. As we immerse ourselves in an unfailing love of our great Heavenly Father and the sacrificial grace of our Savior Jesus Christ and the wonderful power of the Holy Spirit, we are reminded of our calling to be the salt and light in a world that desperately needs the message of hope and salvation. So let us approach each and every day with open hearts and eager minds, ready to be inspired, challenged, and transformed by the living Word of God. Let us stand together as a community of believers, united in our love for Christ and commitment to sharing the gospel with the world. May this time be of renewal, recommitment, and recommitment to our faith. And may we leave this place empowered by the truth of the scriptures, emboldened by the love of Christ, and equipped to be bondservants for the world, hungry for the good news. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I pray that you, my dear family and God, will join me in boldly proclaiming this message of hope, love, and salvation to all who will listen. Thank you.
I will be reading 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not intrudable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love.
Tonight I'll be reading Romans 8, verse 26 and 28. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes in our seeds for the saints according to the will of God. And we do know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose.
I'll be saying nothing but the blood 902. Nothing but the blood 902. What can we...
We will be singing There's a Fountain Free, number 909. We will sing the first and third verse. There's a Fountain Free, number 909.
A carnivorous mammal, closely related to the gray wolf, has long been domesticated as a pet, occurs in a variety of sizes, colors, and coat types, and is sometimes trained to perform a special special tasks such as herding, guarding, or acting as a service animal. The Canis lupus familiaris, or as people call them, a dog. Who here owns a dog? Now I want to pose the question, why is it that y'all own a dog? Why is it that 33% of the world's population owns a dog? Now, I don't know every reason, of course, for why people own dogs, but I do know one of the main ones, and that is comfort. People, they get these attachments, this calmness when they are near their dogs. One of the techniques that therapists use when people are going through some sort of anxiety or depression is to get an emotional support animal. 73% of people dealing with some sort of mental illness have an animal, and 32% of those animals are considered emotional support animals. Why is it that you see homeless people with not a penny to their name having a dog beside them? These dogs, they are man's best friend, right? But I don't want to continue to ramble about man's best friend. Instead, I want to talk about Christian's best friend. And I've broken this lesson into two parts this evening. The first being what not to take comfort in, and then why we should take comfort in God. The first thing I want to tell you not to take comfort in is pleasure. Turn your Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, we'll start in verse 1. Now, while you're turning there, I want to give you some context about the book of Ecclesiastes. King Solomon was in the later years of his life as he wrote this book. He had experienced the sin, the pleasure, all these fun things that the world wants to tell us that are good. And here in Ecclesiastes, this is what he has to tell us about them. I said in my heart, "Come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. But surely, this was also vanity. I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does this accomplish? I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, how to lay hold of folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under the heavens all the days of their life." And as you continue reading through this book of Ecclesiastes, you see Solomon's view on life. You see Solomon spreading his wisdom towards us, telling us how the things in this world we should not take comfort in, that in the end they are all vanity, but rather we should be taking comfort in God, for it is the full duty of man. In the New Testament, John tells us in 1 John 2:16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Next, I want to tell y'all not to take comfort in possessions. Turn your Bible to Matthew 19, 16 through 22. Here we are met with the rich young ruler. And this rich young ruler has the right idea of things. He comes to Jesus asking, "What can I do to gain eternal life? What is it that I need to do to take the next step?" And this is what Jesus tells him. He tells him to do all these commandments, right? Do not kill, do not steal, do not commit adultery, etc. And this is how the rich young ruler responds. "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" And Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell all what you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me." And the story ends with the rich young ruler selling all that he had and following Jesus, right? He takes comfort in Jesus rather than his possessions, right? Unfortunately, that is not the case. The Bible tells us that the rich young ruler went away sorrowful, for he had many great possessions. We cannot take comfort in these worldly possessions, as the rich young ruler did. Two verses later, Jesus makes this comment. And I say to you again, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. These possessions, the Bible tells us, will be burnt up with a fervent heat. This world and all the things in it will be burnt up. So why should we take comfort in these things? So many times in the Bible, we see people taking comfort in possessions, such as the rich man and Lazarus, Ananias and Sapphira, King Saul, and so many more, and never does it end well for them. The final thing I want to tell you not to take comfort in is people. Turn your Bible to Luke 14, 25 and 26. Luke 14, 25 and 26. I want to elaborate my point. How many times have you been let down by people? How many times have people abandoned you or left you? I know I've had times in my life where people have left me, have abandoned me, where I've put my trust, my love, my faith in these people, and oftentimes they have let me down. Now, I'm not saying it's not okay to take comfort in other people. However, what I am saying is once that comfort of others gets in the way of your comfort for Jesus, that becomes a problem. Look what Jesus says in verses 25 and 26. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father or and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Jesus is not telling us to hate each other, John 13, 34 and 35. Rather, Jesus is telling us that people should not get in the way of our Christian life. People should not become a barrier to our Christian walk. How many times have you seen in the Lord's church where people have lost someone they love? And rather than taking comfort in Jesus, bringing them closer to God through this hard time in their life, you will never see them back at church. This is what Jesus was warning us about in these verses. Now I want to shift gears. Rather than talking about what not to take comfort in, I want to discuss with you why we should take comfort in God. The first reason why we should take comfort in God is because taking pleasures in God will lead to everlasting life. Romans 6, 20 and 23. Many people will go to these verses and show you what will happen if you take pleasures in the world. They will show you what will happen to you if you put your comfort in the worldly things. But there's also a second part to these verses. For when you were slaves to sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then? And the things of which you are now ashamed. For the end of those things is death. The verse could have stopped there. We would have a warning from Paul, a warning what not to do. But he continues. But now you have been set free from sin, and having become a slave of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and in the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul shows us two pathways we can choose, and he shows us the result of both. Excuse me. Next, we should take comfort in God because unlike possessions, God cares about you. In Isaiah 53, we are given the prophecy of the things Christ would endure through this world. I want to read just a little bit of this chapter in Isaiah 53. Four through six says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. If you've not read Isaiah 53, I would encourage you to do so in your free time. This chapter, it shows us the pain, the suffering, all the things that Jesus went through because he cares about us. We see the amount of sacrifices he gives up, the suffering, and all the pain that he does for us. Furthermore, we know verses like John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." John 10:11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common in men. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way for escape, that you may be able to bear it." All these verses together show God's immense amount of care for us. Finally, we should take comfort in God, because unlike people, God will always be there for us. In Matthew 28, after Jesus has risen, his disciples were worried. They were discouraged about Jesus not being with them in this world. They were afraid. They were confused how they would face the obstacles of this world without Jesus beside their side. They didn't know how to continue without Jesus. And Jesus offers these words of encouragement in Matthew 28:19-20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Just because Jesus wasn't going to be with these disciples physically, walking among them in this world, does not mean that Jesus was not going to be with them spiritually. Jesus made that promise to his disciples, and is still true today. Hebrews 13:5 tells us he will never leave us nor forsake us. Before I end tonight, I want to share with you a story that I heard, and then the lesson will be yours. The story goes something like this. A man and God were walking on the beach one evening. Then the man pauses and looks back. And when he turns around, he sees every moment he has ever experienced in his life, from birth until that point. And beside each of those moments were two pairs of footprints. One was God's and one was man's. And when he looked closer to those footprints, he noticed that sometimes there were only one set of footprints. And when he looked at those moments that only had one set of footprints, he noticed they were the worst moments of his life, those times he was going through trials. So he says to God, "Look, Lord, there's only one set of footprints between all those hardships in my life. You have left me. Look at the evidence, God. When life was getting too hard, whenever I was broke, when I was on my knees, Lord, you abandoned me." And God looks over to the man, gives a faint smile and says, "No. You see, the reason why there is only one set of footprints is because during all those hardships, I picked you up. Whenever you couldn't keep moving by yourself, when you were broken, when you couldn't stand on your own, I put you on my back, and I carried both of our weights, both of our burdens." Now, if that doesn't bring you comfort, then I don't know what will. Let me rephrase that. If that doesn't bring you comfort, then nothing will. To know that even when we feel alone, when we feel beaten, when we feel that God is not there, he is, and he will be there to lift us up. Maybe tonight you have found yourself taking comfort in the wrong things. Maybe you found yourself taking comfort in someone or something else other than God. Maybe you don't have that assurance this evening, that comfort to know where you will spend eternity if your soul was required of you tonight. Have you heard the wonderful news, Romans 10:17? Do you believe that Christ is who he said he was? Hebrews 11:6. Have you acknowledged that you have fallen short, and have you repented for your sins? Acts 17:30. Have you confessed his name aloud before men? Romans 10:9-10. Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16. Finally, have you continued your faithful walk unto death? Romans 2:10. Maybe you have done these things, but you realize that you've fallen short, that you've taken comfort in someone or something else. We would love to pray with you. We would love to pray for you as we stand and sing.
Ezra mentioned Isaiah 53, and we are going to take this moment to observe the Lord's Supper. If you do not have a communion cup and you need one, if you'll raise your hand, we'll make sure we have a couple that we need to get communion sets to. Thank you. He's actually coming. Okay, one more time. Raise your hand so he knows where to go. Thank you. The song we're going to sing is highly exalted. And it offers the dichotomy of all the bad things, and it offers up the end result, which he ended up exalted on high. And Stephen remarks as being on the right hand of the Father. And this song covers the tragedy and the exaltation. You were despised, you were rejected, Lord, was passed by. Even the burden there is on your side. Such was the suffering you bore for us. Then like a lamb to the slaughter, you full of blood were. Chose to be silent, though you did no wrong. Nor was deceitfulness found.
has read part of Isaiah 53 for us. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. We celebrate this event that Christ went to the cross to shed all of his blood in order that we can have a relationship with him. It's very humbling that God would do this for us, but it definitely shows how much he loves for us, he loves us, how much he cares for us, and how much he desires to have a relationship with us. Unthinkable that someone would give a child, much less the child of God, that we could have that relationship. So for those who are remembering that event this evening, as several of us did this morning, let's put our thoughts towards the cross and let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so grateful that you saw fit to give Jesus for us so that we could have a relationship with you, so that his body could be sacrificed, so that we could be free from our sin. And Father, we're so sorry that that had to happen, but we're so grateful that it did, because through him we have eternal life. And so as this bread is being taken, and we let us remember that body that was beaten, that was spat upon, that was ripped apart, and let us do this in a manner pleasing to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's pray for the cup. Father, we come again giving you thanks, this time for the blood of your son. We can't imagine what it must have been like as a parent to watch your child bleed every drop of blood and not be able to intercede. We're so grateful that that happened. We know the pain that must have been caused, but we realize the pain of that our sin causes. And so we're so grateful that blood was shed so that we can have that relationship with you, so that perfect blood can cover us in our sin, and we can be with you again. As we take this cup, let's remember that beautiful sacrifice and do it in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And just as Jesus gave all for us, the same expectation is of us to him to give all. And we purpose and set aside a certain amount that we can give to the church this week for the operations of what we're able to do here. But it doesn't stop there. The heart of a Christian, the heart of someone who's part of this family, also understands that everything we have, every breath we take, every talent we have should belong to God. And if he needs us or that thing or that ability in that moment for his service, then we need to be ready and willing to give that to him. To not just give a portion back, but to give all back. And to thank him for allowing us to be stewards of the rest. So let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the material gifts that you give us, the gifts that allow us to operate day to day, to feed our families, to clothe ourselves, to help others. And we're thankful that the church here at Central is able to participate in mission work, our youth programs that we were able to hear some of the fruit of tonight, and so many things. And we realize that funds are necessary for this, and we realize that there's congregations around the world that can't afford to do some of the things that we can. And so we're very humbled by the gifts that you've chosen to put us as stewards over here. And we ask that with these gifts that we have, both personally and as a congregation, that help us to be wise with these, help us to be generous with these, but most importantly, help us to realize that this is not ours. We don't own it, and we have to be extremely responsible with someone else's gifts, with someone else's money, realizing that those are all yours. And so, Father, help us to do with everything in our life, possessions, our finances, our abilities, our time. Help us to do the things that we believe you would have done with those things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I failed to mention, but if you would like to give, there's baskets in the back of the auditorium. You can drop your funds in.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we are so thankful to have been a part of this service tonight, and what an encouragement it has been to see these young men get up and read scripture and give lessons and lead songs and to do all these wonderful things to your glory, Father. We pray that each of us would be inspired by their example, that we might all find ways to be active and busy doing your work in your kingdom. And Lord, we pray that each of us would ultimately look to Jesus, that we might, by his example, serve others with love and kindness. And Lord, help us to take that, take all these lessons and all these things we've heard about tonight into our weeks, so that we might bear your son's name wherever we go. Bless each one of us here, Lord. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Don't have any announcements. Does anyone else have any announcements tonight? We are dismissed.